Welcome to the Real Estate Espresso Podcast, your morning shot of what's new in the world of real estate investing. I'm your host, Victor Menash. If you've been listening to the show for a while, you'll know that I'm a real estate developer. That means, by definition, I'm pro-development. I've had projects denied by city council as a result of community opposition. In every case, I've been shocked by the intensity of community opposition and truly felt that our project was designed to enhance the community and not detract from it. Some community opposition has been based on absolutely made-up stories that are not at all connected with reality. That's a polite way of saying that residents, in some cases, will tell a lie to further their objective of keeping growth away from their community. Well, last week I joined a community opposition group. The experience has been a fantastic learning, so much so that I thought it would be worth sharing the experience with you. On today's show, I'm sharing my personal experience being part of a community opposition group. This was a Facebook group that surfaced around a proposed suburban development project with local residents think that it is too big and out of place with the suburb at the far extremity of the urban boundary. The project consists of 431 apartments, including a 25-story tower. The original proposal for the site was for 3 9-story buildings, and even that would have already been a stretch for the community. The group is barely a week old and now has 618 members. The target is a public hearing involving the local city councilor that is scheduled for 2 weeks from the date that the group was formed. The project in question is along an arterial road, and it consists of a vacant lot along that arterial road. If you go east on that road in the direction of the city, you come to several big box stores. Across the street is a medium-sized grocery store that was opened a few years ago, and if you head west, the area is zoned industrial, and after that you get into rural zoning with farms and forest. Some of the residents' concerns are legitimate. The biggest concern is traffic in the area that is already suffering from growing pains. Naturally, the residents are not well-versed in local planning codes, and in some cases, they're objecting to things that are perfectly permitted under the zoning. The residents correctly point out that some of the items listed by the developer in the area don't actually exist yet. For example, the plan shows a school where, in fact, no school has been built yet. That is a bit disingenuous to claim a community amenity that doesn't exist as part of the justification for the project. What was impressive was the speed with which the residents were able to find people with expertise in the local community who are willing to do research and construct arguments to make in front of the public hearings. In a dense urban environment, public transit is a reasonable justification for reducing parking ratios. If people are going to live in your rental property, they need a way to get there. The choices are by car, in which case you need a parking space, or by public transit, in which case you need an effective transit service with sufficient frequency of service and connectivity, or you need an affordable ride-sharing service. At 431 units and only 389 parking spaces, the publicly stated parking ratio is less than 1-to-1. In a suburban environment, my experience says that a parking ratio of 1.75 is really what's needed. Now, even if the city approves the building, I believe the project will fail commercially in the marketplace because of a lack of parking. The residents are right to object to the project in that it has inadequate parking. Now, the developer is actually being a little tricky here. They listed 86 parking spaces for visitors in addition to the 389 resident spaces. Their zoning only requires 10% visitor parking. So if you reallocate 43 of those visitor parking spaces to resident parking, it's amazing. By some stroke of luck, you have 432 parking spaces available for residents. That's exactly a 1-to-1 ratio. How convenient. Again, in my estimation, a 1-to-1 ratio in that location is not nearly enough. One of the objections is the height of the building. At 25 stories, it would be far and away the tallest structure in the area. And what is striking is that the building would be set back from the sidewalk only by a few feet. Such a tall tower with very little setback creates a canyon effect, and it truly alters the view of the sky when you're driving down the street. The residents are correct. Such a tall tower is out of place. Even if the official plan is encouraging density in the urban core, this proposed project is not bringing intensification to the core. The density should be along an existing transit corridor, forcing the city to widen streets to 4 lanes, and to bring a level of transit service to the far extremity of the city is the exact opposite of what the city had in mind when it came to encouraging intensification in the core. I am pro-development. In this case, I'm in agreement with the local residents. There's no short-term plan to widen the roads and to bring in the infrastructure needed to house another 500 families. The project, as proposed, is too big for the area. Sometimes, in a suburban environment, there is need for apartments. I totally get it. For example, when families split up, there needs to be a place close by where one parent can relocate and still be within the same school district. That's a legitimate market need. But this could be satisfied with a 9-story or even a 12-story building. Above 12 stories, the city's tall building guidelines kick in, which results in a reduced floor plate. In order to recover the lost area from that smaller floor plate, the building has to grow to above 18 stories in order just to meet the density that you would achieve at 12 stories. The community group shared a Google Doc in the Facebook group in which volunteers were assigned research responsibilities for specific areas. The group is incredibly well organized. One of the exercises performed by the group was to take drone photographs of the neighborhood from the building site at different heights. One of the objections is privacy and overlook. The images were pretty compelling. At 50 feet, frankly, was no issue. Even at 100 feet above the neighborhood, you could see into maybe one backyard. The higher you went, the more you could see directly into people's backyards and directly into people's homes. At 250 feet, you have a bird's eye view into many people's bedrooms. This is absolutely a legitimate objection. If you're proposing a project, don't be surprised to see residents organize in an incredibly swift manner. I've witnessed it firsthand. As you think about that, have an awesome rest of your day. Go make some great things happen. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.